Tonight's stories.
Kicking.
Honor.
Support.
Vandalism.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with...
Rando.
Sam.
Jill's back.
How are you doing, Jill?
Good.
Okay. That was anticlimactic.
That was so weird. I was getting excited.
Jill
for
just
what
got a little
say.
Shy, yeah. But... Jill's doing good, at least from the past 20 minutes.
On the episode. What is she shy about? She's been here more than us.
What should we ask? Should we ask her? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
What were you shy about?
Yeah, what's going on?
No. Like,
shoulder massage? What's going on?
What?
I'm asking you.
That white mystery got you acting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in
okay,
the white
we need to bring
mystery.
That up. We need to bring up. So Brandon got us some candy for Valentine's Day a little early.
Yeah.
What are the flavors? So we got
strawberry.
Right. We got a normal flavor strawberry. Yep.
Cherry.
Okay. Yum. Another normal flavor.
White mystery.
White mystery.
Yeah.
What's with the emphasis on the W?
Yeah. You said white mystery.
Well, it's, you gotta, you know, make it seem like a little, like white mystery.
Mm. Yeah.
White.
Whitey mystery.
And there's something in it. I tasted it.
Oh, we know,
we
Sam.
Know because of what you just said, talking about rubbing on some shoulders.
I think it's the thing we should do. We should start giving our guests shoulder massages just to relax
just
them.
Just you.
Well, like, Jill, you want to...
Shoulder massage?
Squeeze.
It free?
I'd charge you
for it. Yeah, we should start having them pay us for shoulder massages.
Jill, are you interested in a shoulder massage?
Not
shoulder massage.
Pay.
It's free from Sam.
Yeah. This one's on the house.
Look at these things.
I've seen Sam give Husker a massage once.
Yeah, that was traumatizing. That
slowly went to his neck.
Yeah.
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 But it's just a way to relax. There's different techniques to massage, and that's when I incorporate it.
Husker actually has like some papers against you now.
Wait, what?
So yeah. He has to be a certain amount of cushions away from you. I don't know if you noticed.
Wait, I did get that in the mail. I thought it was a joke. I thought y'all were pranking
me.
Yeah,
there's like a it's not a no contact order, but it's very much like you need to be two cushions away from him.
Yeah, because I'm like walking out of my house and the dog was like,
Yeah,
I'm Sam. And then, rah, rah. And I grab, like, I got served.
And then he just has a paw. Yeah. Two cushion paw. So,
like, this is crazy.
Yeah, so things, he remembers how you grabbed his neck.
I guess so. Yeah. I thought we got past it. Because we're cuddling freaking at Severance, I thought we got past it. That was after.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he did that.
Oh, my gosh. He faked, dude. And I've always said that.
So Jill is not interested. Okay. Sam.
Let's talk about after the episode.
No, thank you.
For me, it's the quiet. No, thank you.
You just need a little extra support like this first story.
Ooh. Was that?
Oh, yeah. Why she canceled that? Okay. Yeah. Interesting approach.
This first story is, am I the asshole for supporting my mom's decision to go into hospice? My 52 male mother, 84 female, has suffered many injuries and illnesses as she's gotten older and is constantly in and out of the hospital. She's had leukemia and went through intense chemo, which led to further health issues, but was declared cancer-free 12 years ago. Well, we recently got the news that the cancer is back, and my mother probably won't live longer than a year. The doctors offered my mom chemo, but she refused, instead choosing to go into hospice. When my mom told me about her decision, I was devastated and asked her why she would choose to die. She explained that she's tired of suffering and constantly losing the people around her. She told me that my dad, who passed away a few years ago, is waiting for her. She said she's proud of the life she's lived and is at peace with this being the end. I have to say, even though I was sobbing, her reasoning was beautiful and she seemed calmer and happier than she'd been in years. So I supported her decision. My sister, 56 female, however, thinks my mom should try chemo again and is pissed that I'm okay with her choosing hospice. She called me and told me I must not care enough about my mom to be letting her go this easily. She keeps trying to convince my mom and I that hospice is not the right choice because our family will miss her too much, and that the grandchildren and great-grandchildren won't understand and deserve their grandma. I know my daughter and grandson understand, but I haven't spoken to my sister's kids and grandkids. I know our family is upset, and we will miss and grieve her, but I respect my mom's choice. Am I wrong for not trying to change her mind?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
She was 84. She's 84.
Yep, 84. 84.
She's lived a long life. And hospice is not a bad thing. Some people live years on hospice. And chemo is such a like hard thing to experience.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot blame her for not wanting to go back through the experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she's 84, so she's probably watched so many people around her pass away, yeah, including her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's selfish of the sister to want the mom to endure so much more pain that comes with the chemo process,
right,
just to like selfishly keep her there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some people, you know, they'd be like, oh, I yearn for the urn.
Whoa.
Ooh.
When did you come up with that? Just now? Or I think that was just now.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Well, I agreed with everything you said besides the last three words.
I'm sorry. It just popped in my head because I thought about the lady on TikTok and it was her birthday. And then she was like, thank you. It's my 89th birthday. I hope it's my last one.
Well, what you said was kind of crazy.
It was.
But I think you're probably right. I think totally spot on of like, you know, even OP's mom was saying of just seeing all these people die around her and her being ready, like her knowing that she lived a good life, yeah, and just being ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, obviously I understand why the sister is upset about that.
Yeah.
I feel like she's like in the denial stages of grief instead of the what the brother seems to be, which is more maybe acceptance right now and understanding. So I think they're just both dealing with the grief. And the thing that sucks about grief, too, is like, knowing something like cancer or whatever is grieving people that are not yet gone, but you mm-hmm. know they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
So I think it's just tough all around. And I don't think anybody's the asshole, you know. I don't think he's the asshole for supporting the mom's decision. It's not yeah. like he's like pushing the mom to be like, don't fight the chemo, just go yeah. to hospice. That's crazy. Yeah. But he's just agreeing with what she wants.
Actually, this reminded me, I just read a book. It was called...
The Four Agreements?
No. This is... Actually, I got to bring this book. I was supposed to bring it back on Saturday. I finished it, but...
Okay. I'm still in the middle of the third one.
No, this book's called Some 40 Tales of the Afterlife. And it's like a lot of short stories about possibilities of what the afterlife could be. Like, it could be this. It could be like... God is a little guy who created us as like devices to research things and to figure out what the world is. And we come back when we die, we tell them, we're supposed to tell them what we think life is. So there's like a bunch of little stories. But the one I thought of was, it was when you die, you get to tell the creator, you're like one wish to make your life better or to fix something in your life. And you get to redo your life with this one wish. And this person wished that there would be no death. And the people were like, are you sure you want to do that? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, are you worried that you're going to be out of a job? And they're like, no, we're not going to be out of a job. And they're like, if you want to do it, you can do it. So they go back to Earth. They figure out a way to get rid of death. Everyone's happy at the beginning. But then people start getting bored of living life. They're like, I've lived life so long. So they're figuring out ways to basically commit suicide at when they got too long, they would commit suicide. And then people were like, well, we don't like how it's a set date. It's a set date to get suicide. So they would have parties to have their friends randomly kill them to get the randomness of death, of not knowing. So you live life without the being prepared for when it's to come. And
oh, wow.
Eventually over time, people got so fed up with it. They're like, we're going to make sure that we can die again. So they kill the person who created this and they're right back to where they started. And they're like, okay, so everlasting life or living life as long as possible is not what humans truly want. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't, if you can't die or if you live life long as possible, you lose like what the beauty of life is. It's doing all this stuff and experiencing all these things in the short amount of time. Living life longer doesn't make it better. It's that shortness. And if the mother, going back to the story, if the mother's like, I live this full life, it's not better because I'm living two more years. It's like that is actually hurting me. It's like agony. I've lived my life. There's nothing to live for anymore.
Yeah.
And forcing someone to do that for your selfishness of them just being on this earth with you at the same time, it is very selfish.
Yeah.
You should let her live her life how she wants to. And if she's ready, she's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to invalidate like the sibling that wants the mom to live, not to invalidate their feelings, because, you know, it's a hard thing to sit there and watch your parent deteriorate.
Yeah.
And knowing they probably had a great relationship and stuff like that. So it's valid that she wants to be selfish to keep her mom there. But at the same time, she just has to go through that process of like becoming okay with the fact that one day mom is going to just check out.
Dang.
Oh, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
Why are y'all laughing? Well, it's because the way you keep ending stuff. You keep ending stuff with a smirk. You're like, I can't help it. Yearn for the urn. Check out.
Check out.
Mm-hmm. Check out as well.
Yeah, no, that's facts. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying too. Just the whole not invalidating the other sibling, because like Maddie was saying, there's separate stages of grief. And I think one thing that is a little bit more beautiful about this story is that the mom can walk through it with them. Like she's still at least coherent enough to be, hey, you know, my days are numbered. Yeah. Let's make the most of what we have.
Yeah.
Because it's not always like that. Like sometimes terminal diseases, they happen quick and you don't get that time. Next few times you see them, they're in bed or in the hospital bed. And before you know it, it's the last words before saying goodbye. So the fact that she's still able to walk through it with all of them is still beautiful at the end of it all. But and then help slowly let them go through the process of just letting her go to her next phase of life.
Yeah. I think some people just associate hospice with like, oh, you're about to die just like that.
Yeah.
When reality is some people can be on hospice for like 10 years before they even start to get to the point where they can't physically do much anymore. And then it's like certain therapeutic things that come into play that kind of help with the process to help families accept it.
Yeah.
Like for an example, from an OT standpoint, like an OT would come in and like do certain activities, like creating memorabilia for the family to have after that family member is gone, things like that. So it's like, it's not the end, but it's kind of to help you accept what's to come at the end.
Top comment: you're not the asshole. I hate to say your sister is one, because this is a heart-wrenching situation, but she needs to step back and support your mom's decision. No one gets to tell someone else how much he or she should suffer just to buy a little bit more time and postpone their own grief.
Top comment.
So that's that. I'm gonna take a look at the board over here. I'm gonna check out the board here.
So yeah,
get comfortable with the board here.
I feel like what we were saying though was a little bit more fair to the whole family, because she is on that other side of grief. You know, everybody does it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were being fair. I don't think they were attacking the sister.
Yeah. I don't know. At least for me. Well, maybe it's just also how it's being read. But it's like I literally hear Reddit comments and I think anger. I don't ever think
that's you, because they're mad at you, Brandon.
Yeah, they are. So maybe that's just me. But I literally hear like, you need to step back as the sister. That's what I hear. And I'm like, I mean, she's grieving already because she's still alive. But maybe that's just me. It probably is just me.
Why are you smirking?
Because I'm thinking about all the times that people were mean to me on Reddit. So I was like, yeah, maybe it was just me. Yeah.
Man, I bet Brandon's kicking himself for not transitioning right there.
Like his next story. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because that whole little thing about how you're like, I'm just thinking about all these people who were mean to me on Reddit. And you're like, maybe it was me. Like, you shouldn't come to that conclusion, Brandon.
Oh, no, I'm fine with it. I'm not changing.
But you're not the problem.
If it was me, I'm not going to change.
Hey. All right, so this next story is, am I the asshole for kicking out my mom's boyfriend?
No.
You need to step up and be the man or woman of the house?
Does he pay the bills? Probably not.
Unless OP likes sex.
Does he pay the bills? Probably not.
Probably not.
Does he pay them bills? Probably not.
Probably not.
Does he pay them bills? Oh, no. Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. It's been a while since we freestyled a song like that.
We stopped singing.
No, we didn't. I feel like we have not stopped singing.
No, because the last two episodes we've been yapping. That's the difference.
We need to sing.
We've been talking.
Why don't we sing?
Am I the asshole for kicking out my mom's boyfriend? When I was 17, my mom came into money. She tried to keep it quiet, but she paid off my dad's debts, bought him a small house, paid off her debts, and paid for my sister's college, and set up funds for mine. She had a boyfriend at the time, and shortly after, him and his son, who was 7, moved into our new house. Over the next few years, Mom bought my sister a house after she graduated college. Her boyfriend lived with us and didn't pay anything, but he did work. When I was 21, Mom got diagnosed with cancer. It wasn't good. She sat me down and my sister down and went over exactly how much money there was. She intended to give her current house to me, and both me and my sister were left with a large sum by the end of it. She asked if I would allow her boyfriend to stay in the house with his son until he got his own place, and I agreed. Before she died, she told her boyfriend that he would need to look for his own place, but he had time to save money for that journey. For the last 4 years, he has continued to reside in the house with his son. I haven't minded because we get along okay. I pay all the bills, but he does buy food for him and his kid. He has dated on and off, but mostly kept the women out of this house, which I respected him for, until his current partner. She's been in my house 3 times, and at first, besides feeling a little uncomfortable, I was okay with her. The last time, this last weekend, was the point where I lost my shit. I was making myself some lunch when she came walking downstairs. She grabbed a plate and went to grab food out of my pan. I asked her what she thought she was doing. She started telling me how I should look for somewhere else to live, and leeching off my dead mom's past relationship as an adult was pathetic. I hollered for my mom's old boyfriend. He came down and I told him, I don't know what his current thing thought, but I wasn't going to be disrespected in my own house. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even look me in the eyes as he mumbled something about my mom promising him the house, and he was just being kind, letting me stay. First, this isn't remotely true. Mom pulled him and I together after she asked if he could stay to set expectations. My mom met him shortly before she won the money and told him and us girls that she had no intention of leaving him money. She did set aside a fund for his son for college when he gets there, but he can't touch it. Only his son can. He has lived in this house for almost 8 years without paying a dime. He should have plenty of money. If he doesn't, that's on him. I told him he has 30 days to leave. I wasn't going to house someone who would lie and disrespect me in my house. He left that night with his son, but his ex-wife called me to tell me I am cruel and an asshole for her son losing his house. He's here every other week. I feel like my mom didn't expect him to still be here, but my sister says she feels like I'm breaking my promise to my mom, and that made me feel like I'm being the asshole. The audacity.
This is like that cheating story where the girlfriend's like, you better move out because this is his house, and he's like, wait, you know this is my house. Did he tell you that this is his house?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah,
not the asshole.
Yeah, that's
not the asshole at all. So many like red flags in this story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why was the mom buying all these people houses? What? Because I heard her say she bought her ex-husband a house too.
She paid off that house.
Yeah.
She paid for her daughter's college and OP's future education at the time. She bought, who else?
She bought her boyfriend's son a college fund.
A college fund. Yeah, that's.
How much money?
Must have been a lot of money.
What were you doing, Mom?
For that to be nothing, you know?
That sounds like a drug dealer to me. It's good, like, for you. Yeah, I agree with OP. I don't think you're the asshole because 4 years is a long time.
Very long.
And it's hard to be like, the mom would be like, hey, you get like 2 years or something. It would have been nice if she were like, give him a couple years to get on his feet and then be fine to actually have parameters. But I definitely agree with you. I would imagine that 4 years is past what more the mom enough. Would think. Yeah. Yeah. Needed to get on your feet when you're paying no bills. All you're doing is paying for food for you and your kid. Yeah. You should be able to get on your feet in 4 years.
Because as a financial, that word almost ate me up. Financially stable adult, he should be working a job full time. Mm-hmm. So you're not paying rent. So I'm assuming he's not paying any utilities. He's just paying for food. So where's your paycheck going? He should have been like saving up over time, because 4 years and you get to keep your full paycheck is a lot of money. And even then, he could have like saved up for 6 months and moved into his own apartment with his kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the ex-wife coming in the picture saying,
wait, where'd the ex-wife come
from? Yeah, that's the ex-wife said, oh, taking my son's home.
Oh, because that's the kid's mom. Okay, I was like, why does she even care?
He can come live with you, ma'am. Where are you at? Come get your kid.
Well, I'm fine. I'm living on my own, so I don't want to do that. But you can't take his.
From what she was saying, it sounds like the son splits his time every other week.
Oh, okay.
So every other week, that was the son's home. But I think you need to take it up with your ex-husband, ma'am, and also girlfriend, because it sounds like he's lying to you about whose house this is. Mm-hmm. Imagine like complaining to your significant other about like, well, also being, also lying in the first place of like being like, yeah, it's my house, but then complaining about probably her being like, so why does she still live here? Like, it's been 4 years. Why does she still live here? The audacity of taking that plate and trying to reach into that pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the passive aggressiveness that leads to the conversation.
Because she was ready. She was quick with that.
Mm-hmm. She was. Like, she was confident.
Yeah, she was like, I'm going to take the food because I know I'm going to say this.
Because I know this is his house.
Yeah.
So everything is mine. Your food, mine.
That speaks volumes about her as an individual.
Yeah.
Because if this girl lives here, and you're just a part-time guest, an overnight friend.
You're three times, your third time here.
This is your third time here, and you just come downstairs grabbing plates out of cabinets.
Birds of a feather.
Flock together.
Grabbing plates, grabbing a spatula, and grabbing that egg.
And
that
then
I just seasoned.
Yeah. I mooch off of my dead mother.
Wow.
Ma'am. I would yell for him to come downstairs, too. Because
Cause that's so disrespectful.
Cause I'm grabbing chanclas, you know what I'm saying?
Seems like there's a roach in my house.
Like, this is roach behavior.
But oh, just imagine you're cool with this dude who lives rent free at your house, and you realize there's some animosity and it's one sided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, so my mom left me this house and, you know, I'm honoring her and I'm respecting you by letting you live here for however long you want to, because I don't need the extra space yet. And wow. And then still, like what we were talking about earlier, the ex-wife's calling and complaining. You don't get to complain anymore. Speak to your ex-husband.
Yeah. Exactly.
She ain't got nothing.
Stop calling me.
Yeah. Like, why do you have my name in the first place?
Yeah. Like, because to me, that makes me think that he's still lying.
Yeah.
Because now the ex-wife is calling being like, you took my son's home away. What are you talking about? This is not his home.
Right.
Your Also, your husband decided to leave abruptly.
Yeah.
I gave him 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put him in the group chat. Tell him the truth.
That's a good notice.
Yeah.
Okay, so top comment, not the asshole. The critical part here is that your mom asked you to let him stay until he got his own place and to give him time to find one. In that time, instead of looking to move somewhere else, he continued to settle into life in this house to the point where he even started bringing a new girlfriend along. He moved on but didn't move out. Him lying to her and telling her this was his house tells you everything you need to know about his actual intentions to leave. You kicking him out wasn't abrupt. The clock had run out on your mother's kindness and your obligation to her a long time ago. He was living there on generously borrowed time. Oh, yeah. The whole point is the sisters, like, you're kind of the asshole for that. Sister, you don't understand what just happened today.
Yeah.
Sister. Where are you be saying that?
Sister.
Sister, sister. Am I the asshole for refusing to honor my dad's wishes? I, 25 female, have been caught in the middle of my parents' messy divorce for years. My dad claims my mom cheated, but there's no evidence, and my mom denies it. Honestly, their marriage was extremely incompatible, and it was bound to end sooner or later. My dad took the divorce really badly, and my younger sister and I have always tried to be compassionate and understanding. However, after the divorce, he imposed this rule that we are never to meet or interact with any potential partner of my mom's. He made it clear that he doesn't want anyone else taking the role of dad. We disagreed, but went along with it just to keep the peace. However, during a recent conversation, he told me that he expects us to follow this rule for the rest of his life. I was dumbfounded, and I asked him, even when I'm 40 and married with kids of my own, I'm still not allowed to meet someone my mom has been with for years if he makes her happy? And he said, yes. And then he added that if I did, I'd stop being his daughter, and he would cut me out of his life entirely. I think his fear stems from being replaced, which I understand when we are younger, but at this stage in our lives, it feels absurd. It's not like a new partner would raise us. We're adults now. I told him I'm not willing to follow this rule forever, and if he chooses to cut me off for that, it will be his decision, not mine. He called it a lack of principles and insisted that I would be the one responsible for ending our relationship. I think this rule is controlling and unfair, and I refuse to let it dictate my life any longer, but I also don't want to lose my dad. Am I the asshole for standing my ground?
No.
Bro, you double need standard? Healing, man. This dude needs healing. That's crazy.
What did your mom do?
For the rest of your life?
Cut off if you even think about talking to that man.
I understand, like, you went through something traumatic with your wife, but now you are allegedly refusing. But obviously, even if she did cheat or not, he is traumatized by the situation enough where he is basically not healing his wound and going to therapy. He's just covering it up and he's telling people, this is how you don't hurt me, okay? So don't do this thing. And they're like, well, I'm not able to do everything that I'm supposed to be doing because I need to step around this big wound that you have in our lives because you won't take care of this wound. You can easily fill this hole, take care of it, heal it, but you don't want to do that. You want to just tell me to move around it. That's not fair.
It ain't fair at all. It's messed up.
Yeah. I was going to say something, but it's basically just that.
And what's the word? Like, a boundary can't be other people's actions. Like, that's not a boundary if you're like, you can't talk to these people. That's not a boundary for you.
I mean, it's like a boundary can't force another action or something like that. I think that's a boundary can't force an action. Is that what it is?
No, I mean, If it pertains to him, like if you're like, you can't do something to me, that's a boundary. But if I'm enforcing an action of like, you can't do something external to me, that's not a boundary.
It's like control, but there's a word for that.
Yeah, I thought there was a word for it. But him saying, you can't talk to this person outside of me because of how it makes me feel, that's not a boundary. That's you just trying to control them.
Yeah, and that's not fair to do.
It's not fair to do.
Because I can, you know, even have some grace and understanding for maybe if it was a period of time and he was like, it really upsets me when, you know, you've met mom's partner or whoever because I feel like he's going to become your new dad or whatever. But even then, eventually you can't be angry. Like you can't have that anger for your kids of like, hey, if I'm going to meet someone that makes mom happy, you can't stop me from meeting her right. and then be mad at me when I meet her. But I do think it is controlling because I don't necessarily know if he's like a I don't think he's trying to be a bad person, but his actions are making him like look bad and be bad because he's trying to protect himself. But the controlling thing is really, it's kind of an absurd ask.
I was going to say, why focus all that energy on making that boundary when you could just be a good father?
Yeah.
If you're a good father, you won't have to really worry about being replaced.
Well, that's where I think it's coming from. I think he has a fear deep down. He's like, I'm not a good father. So this is the only way that I can protect it. And you're right. He should be focusing that energy on being a good dad. But he's like, well, any guy will probably replace me because anyone would be better than me. So my solution is to just stop that.
I don't know, though. I think anybody would have that fear, whether you're actually a good dad or not, though.
I don't think if you're a good dad, you, if you're actually confident in yourself, you're like, I'm a good dad. You're not going to be worried about some other guy coming in. And like, of course, people are like, oh, I kind of like them. But you're scared that they'll replace you as a father.
And these are his adult
and
children.
You know you're a good dad? There's no way.
Yeah. Well, then.
That's like a confidence thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that's like a confidence thing. But I guess if you're confident in yourself, you wouldn't have that. But it just sounds like he's insecure about it.
And he's lashing out in a bad way.
He was the one that was getting cheated on, allegedly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, then.
He just needs to let his wife go, too.
His confidence level is probably just out of the water right now. Because, getting cheated on is no easy easy thing to get over.
Because also, does it seem like he's trying to use his kids as, like, a leverage for his ex-wife, like you're saying?
Yeah.
And like, hey,
it's another way
you
to
can't
her.
Meet her, you know, whoever. And if you do, you're done with me. So now I'm leveraging my own kids to screw over the wife, which maybe that is the the big motivator in the end.
Yeah.
But no, this is a ridiculous ask.
And
you're not the asshole for doing that. Am I the asshole for vandalizing my neighbor's dog's winter coat?
Can you repeat that?
These are fake stories, dude. These are not real stories. Yeah, you're the asshole.
I mean, it's someone else's stuff.
Yeah.
But why are you doing it to the dog's coat?
But actually, I don't know, because why does the dog have a winter coat either? That's kind of upsetting me.
Like, is it an actual winter coat or actually his fur?
If it's his fur, that's a crime. Yes, you should not do that.
Okay.
But if it's a winter coat that he bought at Burlington.
And Nike.
Vandalize that.
Way, it's not yours. So, yes.
He's got that fur. That bubble coat, white coat.
And the dog's like.
Am I the asshole for vandalizing my neighbor's dog's winter coat? My neighbor, 87 female, and I, 28 male, live in a rural area and access our driveways through a wooded back road shared with two other houses. We live up north, and in the mornings it can stay dark until almost 8 a.m. My neighbor is older, nearly blind, and very stubborn. She has a support dog, 4 male, that helps her see. Although he's not registered by any means, he's a friendly black lab, and she has dressed him in a dog coat for warmth for as long as I can remember. The problem is, she lets the dog out in the morning to defecate, and he has the freedom to roam. What are you guys laughing about?
Sorry.
Just friendly black lab.
Friendly black lab.
It's just a word. And you said it twice, too. I was like, I don't like that.
I'm just reading it. I'm not trying to say anything with it.
I heard black lab. He is a white.
I'm like, I was like, why you got to say black? I'm like, that's concerning to me.
That's my bad. Yeah. I shouldn't have read that. Yeah. It was Black History Year.
It has to be. It's a description of the dog. Lab. But I feel like OP has, that was a microaggression.
Against that black lab.
Black lab in a white coat.
The problem is that she lets the dog out in the morning to defecate, and he has the freedom to roam the shared road. Being a black dog and wearing a dark black coat,
oh my God,
he is almost impossible to see in the winter months. Between my neighbors and I, we have nearly hit this dog over 8 times in the past 2 months. Should we take another break?
That's racist!
This one, you're being racist. Yeah,
being a black dog.
Being a black dog in a dark coat.
In a predominantly white neighborhood.
At night.
But he is friendly. He's one of the good ones. That's he's crazy. One of the good ones.
MLK did not die for this. My God.
I have talked to the neighbor about getting him a new coat or fixing bells to his collar or something, but she is attached to his coat for some reason and refuses to go with bells as they're too noisy and would be difficult for her to remove in her condition. Eventually, I took matters into my own hands after nearly smoking this poor pup when backing up onto the shared road in my truck. I took the coat off the dog and doused it in a reflective spray paint. He sticks out like a sore thumb in the woods now, and my neighbors agreed it's much easier to see him. My neighbor had no idea for a few weeks until her step-nephew visited to help her with a plumbing issue and commented on the coat. She asked me about it, I owned up to it, and now she's furious, talking about vandalism and lawsuits. I admit I could have gotten a separate reflective coat for him or used reflective tape or something, but I really think I helped more than I hurt the situation. Am I the asshole?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You are.
Yeah. That's someone else's stuff still at the end of the day, regardless of if it's going to help everybody else.
Yeah.
You, well, not help then, you. She's, they're trying to protect the dog.
Trying to protect the dog, but still, that's someone else's stuff. And you had the idea to buy the coat afterward.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just buy the coat?
But, I feel like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the other side because I get what you guys are saying, but I feel like I'm on the other side because this dog is such like, he's so, I mean, I know I feel like if I say anything, he's so hard to see at night.
Why is he hard to see, man?
Yeah. Because he's a friendly black dog with, I agree with your guys' points, but I feel like the dog and the owner really not seeing the problem and wanting to protect her dog is the issue.
She's blind. She's blind.
But the point is, it's a problem. but that's the bigger issue, right? Is like if they keep bringing it up to you, of like, hey, if somebody brought it up to me, like, hey, I almost keep hitting Husker, I would immediately get him something different so that he was easier to see, so that I have a dog for a longer period of time.
Yeah,
and you know, worse, like if an accident were to happen with OP's like neighbor's dog. Like, don't be pissed at me if I couldn't see your dog and you let him out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I see why he made that quick decision to do that of like, I almost literally just hit your dog right now. You know what? I'm going to the garage to do something about it right now. But looking back on it, I think a way to rectify the situation is like, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. But this is a serious issue. So I'm going to replace your coat. But I need, like, we need to fix this in some other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, unless you want this dog to be put at risk. This is crazy.
I agree. Because I don't think he's the a-hole for doing something about it. I think it's just the method he chose.
Yeah.
If he had like got some reflective tape that could easily peel off, that would have been cool. Or if he just bought a new coat or some type of socks or something that's reflective.
Yeah.
It would have been cool.
Socks.
No, the little boots. The little things, but to pour paint on them
on the coat, not on, the on coat. Him, yeah.
But, well, on the coat, yeah. Still. What if it was a Nike Tech?
Yeah,
you pour paint on my Nike Tech, we got a problem.
Well, because I'm like, she said she likes the coat. I'm like, chick, you can't see the coat. It took her a couple weeks to know that the coat didn't even change. So I'm like, what? I'm actually also going on the side where I'm like, I think she's the asshole. Do you care about your dog or
that
not?
Coat is filthy by now.
And she's like, she didn't notice. So I'm like, your dog's been safe now for the last couple of weeks because we all see the dog. And now you're just mad because
the coat is.
Because I get you are wrong for doing it, but I'm like, I did it for your dog. Someone got to protect the dog because you obviously don't care.
Black.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm kind of retracting back a little bit because if somebody else is what Maddie was saying, if people are telling you though that like, hey, we're about to hit your dog and it's multiple people and you don't do anything about it or except when someone does something about it, well, I guess did he offer to do something beforehand or just talk about it?
Well, I thought he offered to do something to the coat, and that's when she was like, no, I love the coat.
Or she was like, I'm an old lady, like, I can't get up and, you know, put this on, put this off. He said, between the neighbors and I, I've nearly hit the dog over 8 times in the past 2 months. That's not talking about ever, that's just talking about now.
Yeah.
So they did.
Black kid too that I sprayed his coat as well because I couldn't see him.
So they did talk to the neighbor Brandon about doing something, either getting him a new coat or fixing bells to his collar. But she was basically saying that it would be too difficult for her to remove in her condition.
Yeah, the bells I get. Okay, then.
But even
he could have bought a new coat, and she still rejected it.
But to a certain extent, like. Mm. Her maybe having to switch coats out every single time the dog goes outside.
Yeah.
Putting a coat on a dog, especially a bigger dog, is still an inconvenience. So I imagine an elderly person having to bend down and do that, even if it's Bell's, it would still be an inconvenience.
But this coat just lived on the dog the whole time.
I feel like it probably just lived on the dog all the time.
So we're going to spray paint that coat.
Get a reflective collar.
Mm.
That's one thing.
That'd be good.
Oh, a reflective collar would look good against his black fur. Mm-hmm.
Then we could see him at night.
Yeah, my boy's shining.
Good way to point him out.
Right there.
Yeah, he's right there.
Right there, officer, is crazy. You got like the German Shepherd dog getting out of the cop car, just like... Not the asshole. You saved that dog's life. She's an irresponsible owner for letting it get into danger repeatedly. And then OP responded, she had a cat a few years back that was outside most of the time. Some of us worried if it could get back in. The thing was badass, though. My other neighbor caught it on a trail cam fighting off a coyote, and I saw her walking around with what I believe was a full-grown muskrat she caught.
Oh, my God.
We asked neighbor about it after a few years, and get this, she literally had no idea what we were talking about. I think she truly forgot she had the cat, despite introducing her to the neighbors when she first got it. Eventually, another neighbor picked her up and rejoined her with a friend. She's still an outdoor cat, but comes home to their place every night to sleep inside. So just a negligent person who probably shouldn't have any animals.
Walking it back, walking it all the way back. Yeah. You did the right thing, OP. Because,
that cat was living through a lot of the cats. Only hand on a swivel. Like.
That cat had ops.
That cat had to fight that coyote. He didn't have a place to live.
I would watch a movie based on that cat, just all the trials of that cat with him. And the old lady just sitting in her rocking chair.
The cat like comes up to her. She's like, just trying to kick it away.
Like, help me.
I grew up with a hard life.
It's me, Charles.
Just gotta, get out of here. There's a scar like down his face.
I can't.
School the hard paws.
Yeah.
He's only got one eye. Because it got poked out like this Patreon story.
Oh.
From behind the wall.
From behind the wall.
We're not there yet. We're not in it.
Well, we're about to go to
it. Okay.
So thanks, Jill.
Jill.
Thank
Jilly
you.
Jill.
Thanks for coming.
Dr. Jill.
You're awesome.
You guys are pretty awesome.
You look awesome. Sorry about the last story being racially motivated, potentially.
Oh, it's like that. Was it Key and Peele? The skit with black ice.
Oh, yeah.
And like black ice.
Why does the ice have to be black? Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Incredibly dangerous black ice.
Brandon, Sam, thanks for being here, guys. Sam, I'm sorry you had to eat that candy that had the weird name. Thanks for admitting it, though.
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm here to serve the people, comfort level, comforters, ottomans, cousins.
Oh, you have to say cousins like that.
I just said it. I included them.
Yeah.
But it was the way you said
it. 12 of us, but at least say it.
They're strong, dude.
They're strong. Shout out to cousins in the...
They be on every video commenting like, I'm a cousin. You're like, okay, cousins.
So I'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.